praise the Lord. It's good to be here this evening. Yeah, welcome. Yeah, welcome those of us here and those of us online. Well, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Love Lifted Me. Sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
Jesus, and live.
then fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus and live. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus and live. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I know we got one pick of him this evening, but I don't remember what page it's on. What a day that will be, 762. Oh, it's right across the page. Praise the Lord, yeah. Already there. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear. No more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, The one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Praise the Lord. Any other pick of hymns this evening? The tune you've been thinking about, or a lyric? 581, alrighty. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus on 581. Oh, yeah. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. And Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Amen. Any others? All right, well, praise the Lord.
All right. What do we got in the area of praises tonight? But yeah, you got a praise, James?
Yeah, we had visitors this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Amen. Pray they come back.
Yeah. All right, visitors.
I got to praise the Lord about this morning's sermon about thinking before you speak. It reminded me of Brother Mike Tate, who was always careful to choose his words
wisely.
Oh, yeah,
there you go. Amen. Yeah. That was a testimony. Think before you speak.
I just think say a little good sermon was
tonight. All right.
You want to say something? You got to say something.
Speak. All right, all right. I thought they were all good, but whatever, man. Some are better than others, I guess. Huh? Yeah, yes, ma'am, in the back. Praise.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, right here, and then we'll get you
okay.
back.
I just want to praise the Lord. Loopy's husband, Robert's been coming with her on Sunday.
Yeah, pray
that he
keeps
coming.
Keep praying. Come on, Brother Robert, keep on coming, man. Well, amen. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Amen. Peace, that peace that passes all understanding, right? Amen. That's a good word. Yeah. Yeah, we got a praise back here.
What we got? We got Loopy?
I just want to thank God that these past few weeks I've got to spend a lot of time with all of my family, which has been a blessing. I don't get to see them very often, and my grandchildren. Also want to thank God that we had been having really huge groups in Awanus, and that seems to keep growing, and the parents seem to be excited, so we're planning some things, and so just thankful for the kids coming.
Amen.
And my neighbor is very excited because her daughter's coming, and Lord willing, that they will be able to start coming to church too. So
okay.
I wanted to also thank God because my sister Rosemary, who you know has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer,
yeah.
Well, she went through a few of the heavy duty chemo treatments already, and they did the scan, and they found that the tumor has already shrunk 25%.
Hallelujah, man.
And so God is good.
That's great.
The type she has, that doesn't happen very often. So keep praying for that. But thankful for that.
And tumor shrinking. All right. All right, Rosemary, stage 4 chemo, tumor shrinking. Amen, amen. All right, what else? Any other praises? Yes, ma'am. Right there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just want to praise the Lord regarding the answer to prayer to that NFL football player.
Oh, yeah.
And how the unashamedly the people kneeled around him and then on a sports channel prayed for him openly. And
yeah, wasn't that great?
To see God answer prayers. I just thank the Lord. It's not always his will to heal everybody. But
right.
I just thank the Lord that what a testimony for the world to see. And it seems like that young man has a wonderful life ahead of him.
Really amen. Believe. Amen.
Yeah. And I'm just thankful for that testimony. So maybe the naysayers will think twice next time before they criticize someone kneeling on a football field.
You know, that's right. It took that near-death experience to kind of break that hard ground. Because, I mean, it's like these veterans who had been in the league and are now commentators, they didn't care. They didn't care if they got fired that night. They were going to – they knew it wasn't about the game. It was about that young man, and it was about his recovery. And if they decided to pray or say something spiritual, they just went ahead and said it. I was really impressed. Because, buddy, there was a lot of coin on the line. And the PC police, you notice how they didn't rear their head up, did they? You know why? Because it was complete saturation, everybody praying. When everybody comes together and prays, and PC police, they stay off in the darkness and in the corner where they belong, right? So if we'll just bind together as a people, right, from East Coast to West Coast, and pray, them liberals go running. They'll get out of there. kitchen get too hot.
And it's a tragedy, Brother Lee, that we have something like this incident that binds us together.
Well,
as well as the fact that 9/11 is what it did to the country.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
Hopefully it'll be the realistic view that God is still in control.
Amen, yeah. Man. Mar Hamlin's recovery. All right.
I hope this is not too personal, but we've talked about how dry it's been, and you and I have talked
about
the rain a little bit.
Right.
And they had predicted some pretty heavy thunderstorms in this general area. Last evening or yesterday late, and wow, did we get a thunderstorm over the top of our house down here near Stagecoach.
Yes.
It was, it got so rugged that I did something that I haven't done in years. I went out on the front porch and sat down in my chair and watched that thunderstorm for a while, and the rains came pouring down, and I thought, wow, this is for real. I think I'll go back inside.
How much did we get, Frank, or how much did you
well,
get?
Well, at my house, I got 1.5 inches. I recorded it at 11 o'clock last night.
Okay.
That's when I recorded that rain. I'll keep up that little sheet of paper, Pastor, and I'll show it to you.
I think we got more than an inch and a half at my house, but who knows? You got 2.5 where you're at, John?
Yeah. But we're 2 miles west of here out
near
Stagecoach.
Some places in Cyprus going into Jersey Village, because that thing was moving southeast.
Yes.
They had rain rates of 4.1 inches an hour.
We didn't have that rain. Well, as I said, I recorded an inch and a half in all three of my rain gauges. But the thunderstorm, the electrical rampage that God sent those clouds on. And my wife has been lightning struck several years ago.
Oh, my soul.
She got lightning struck. And one of the horses went to rescue her from this mare we had knew that something had happened to that woman, because that woman was laying back on her back like this. And that horse went over, tiptoed up, and smelled of her to see what was wrong.
Right.
It was amazing. But anyway, we did not get any damage from the storm last night. The wind got high there for a time or two, and the rain poured for about 30 or 45 minutes, and then it pretty much shut off. But what really attracted me was the thunder and the lightning just booming and lighting up the sky all the way around our place.
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable.
But nothing bad came out of it, and I'm so thankful, because Denise was worried, and I got a little bit worried, especially when I was sitting out there on the sidewalk watching the storm. So
yeah,
I'm thankful that God took care of us.
Amen.
And I don't know of anybody in our neighborhood that suffered any damage personally or their properties from that storm. So that's a great and wonderful thing.
Well, there was a radar-detected tornado south going over Cyprus headed to Jersey Village, but I don't think it ever touched down. But there was rotation and hail.
Yep.
I think some people got hail south of here.
Brother Lee, I got praises as well as prayers. Uh-huh. Barbara Manning is getting ready to be moved. Her muscles are strengthening, and she's breathing on her own.
Amen.
And so we continue to pray for her. And then that boy Isaac that was in that auto accident that's in Colorado, he is starting to get some feelings in his feet.
Oh, amen, man.
So hopefully that PT will continue and work a miracle through the Lord.
Amen. Feeling in his feet. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. Prayer requests. All right. We'll get you back there.
First Baptist.
Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am.
My neighbor, as we were leaving a little bit before ambulance, fire truck showed up, and so they took her. So she was having seizures. They're very private people. I probably knew their last name, but I don't remember it now. But just my neighbor crossed for me, seizure, and they took her in an ambulance.
Okay.
And continued prayer for my sister Rosemary. She's got a few more treatments to go than a surgery.
All right, got it. All right. What else?
All right, Brother Lee, let's go pray for Justin as he leaves Tuesday.
Yes.
And let's pray for our nation now that we've gotten through this voting issue for Speaker of the House, that they get down to business and do the will of the people.
Nation.
And that God will control that environment there.
House of Representatives. All right, amen.
Yeah, I have a cousin who went through gastric bypass surgery here like 3 weeks ago,
uh-huh.
4 weeks, something like that, and now she's having gallstone problems.
Oh, okay.
So,
what's her name?
Rhonda Johnson Game.
Gallstone. All right.
Since her gastric bypass, she's lost 40 pounds. So Amen. that's good.
Yeah.
Don't let this be a discouragement for her. She's got to see another surgeon because she didn't like the other surgeon she had for some reason. I don't think he was real positive or something. And then, of course, the guys on my Man Up God's Way group
are
going through trying to stay sober.
Okay.
Just lift them up.
Yeah, man.
Okay, well, lift up. I know you got Ronnie Vackler on there.
I got him.
Okay, and Steph's dad, Larry.
Yep, Larry.
Lift up him as he trying to get ready for that bypass.
Right.
And lift up Ronnie Holman.
Got it.
Okay, and what about? Yeah, he's got him already. Lift up Ronnie and Alita, Lord, and... And Paul and Pat, I guess, got the COVID, and so does Gene got the COVID. COVID's kind of bouncing around a little bit, whatever that one is.
Yeah, the new variant or
yes, sir.
Old variant or something.
Yes, sir. And unspoken.
Yeah.
And that's all I got.
Amen. All right, is that everybody? Yes, ma'am, Miss Biggie.
I want to be with Sharon and Chuck as they get ready to send Justin off. Because most all these mamas know when they send their babies off to war and that service, we cry a lot.
Yeah.
I did when he went in.
So pray for them.
Yes, Sharon and for Chuck. My pastor, too, so he could get over his little problems.
Yeah. Sharon, thank you. All right. Amen. Lift up Sharon and Chuck. All right. Very good. Thank you, brother. All right. Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Sure, I got my do not disturb on. Yep, do not disturb. All right. Those of you with us online, good to have you tonight. We're going to begin praying here, and we'll continue on. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, we thank you that we can gather this evening, Lord, in one accord and one spirit and bear one another's burdens, celebrate these praises together tonight. And Lord, as we come to you, thanking you for our salvation and thanking you for our for the grace you've bestowed upon us, the mercy you've given us, Lord, thanking you for the cross, praising you for your glory, Lord, thanking you for creation, praising you for all the many blessings you've given us, Lord. We just have hearts full of joy and peace and gladness that we're saved tonight, that you know us tonight, and that you're keeping us for all eternity, Lord. We just praise you tonight. Lord, we thank you for and praise you for our visitors this morning. And Lord, we pray for that family that you would lead, guide, and direct them to where you would have them join up and settle in. And Lord, if it be here, we just praise you for that. And if not, Lord, we just continue to pray that you'd send folks our way that would fit here and would be a good addition to this church. And Lord, they'd be able to bring in their gifts and their talents. And Lord, just get right to work serving and growing in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. But Lord, we praise you and thank you for visitors. Lord, we thank you for your words today and challenging us to think before we speak. And Lord, that's something each and every one of us need to keep close to our chest whenever we're tempted, Lord, to say things we shouldn't. So help us in that regard, Lord. But we praise you that your word holds us accountable, challenges us, convicts us, and encourages us to be more like Christ. Lord, we're thankful for Robert and his continued attendance here on Sunday morning. And Lord, we just pray that you give Loopy the encouraging words to continue to encourage him. And Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to work in Robert's life and help him, Lord, get to where he needs to get. And then, Lord, we're thankful for peace, that peace that passes all understanding. Lord, in the situation that we talked about earlier with Jennifer and John and their daughter, Lord. Thank you for encouraging words that come from each other and given to us in a spirit of love and encouragement, Lord. We praise you and thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for Loopy's family time. We praise you for that, Lord. It's always good to be with family and friends and to catch up and just to reminisce and encourage one another. We're thankful that Awana's continues to grow. We give you praise and glory for that, Lord. We thank you that Rosemary's cancer, Lord, this tumor has shrunk by 25% from these chemo treatments. And Lord, we continue to pray for Rosemary's healing and her health. Lord, we pray that her body would be able to withstand the additional treatments. And Lord, that the tumor would shrink small enough that it can be removed. And Lord, the cancer in her body would go away. That, Lord, she would come back from a stage 4 and she would be a stage 2 or perhaps even a stage 1. Just asking for a miracle in her life, Lord. And you're the great God, the great physician. And so, Lord, we put that before you tonight. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful testimony of Damar Hamlin's healing. We praise you for that. We thank you for all the prayers that went up for Damar. And, Lord, how the politically correct police left it alone and allowed folks to pray and express their faith. And so, Lord, we just give you praise and glory for that. We do praise you for the rain. And, Lord, we continue to pray for rain, that we not get behind, that we stay right where we need to be. And, Lord, the state needs it. Places in California need some more, and, Lord, they're going to get some more. Midwest, out east, all different places in this great nation need the rain. So, Lord, we just pray you bring it and bestow it upon us. We thank you for it here. Lord, we praise you for Barbara Manning and her continued healing and strength. And, Lord, we pray that that would continue as she gets moved to another facility. Just pray that her healing and strength would continue. And then, Lord, this miracle of healing in Isaiah's life, getting some feeling in his feet, we pray that, Lord, he would get more and more feeling each and every day. And, Father God, we pray that you would just do a great work in this young man's life and allow the physical therapy to just bring him back, Father God, just bring him back. So, Lord, we lift Isaiah up to you tonight. We praise you for this news we've received. As we think about a prayer request, Lord, we lift up First Baptist Church Tomball and their transition. Be with them, Lord. Be with their congregation. Be with their pastor. We pray that you'd continue to use FBC Tomball and your community to get the word out. Lord, we lift up that sister congregation to you tonight. Lord, we pray for Loopy's neighbor in this seizure and then subsequent trip to the hospital. We don't know the details, but Lord, we just pray for that lady's health. Pray you touch her body, bring healing to her, and help her, Lord. Father God, we lift up Justin as he gets ready to leave this Tuesday. We pray for Sharon and Chuck as they say goodbye to their son for basic training and then off to his school. Lord, we just pray that you be with them, encourage them. And Lord, as we prayed this morning, we just pray a hedge of protection around Justin as he goes. Lord, we do lift up our nation. We pray for the government. Lord, we pray for this House of Representatives situation. Lord, as they get ready to debate and vote on rules, packages, and everything going on, Lord, we pray that they can get that taken care of and get on to the business at hand. So, Lord, we just lift that up to you tonight. We lift up Bobby's cousin to you, Rhonda, and these gallstones. We pray that you might give her physician the wisdom how to best treat her and alleviate that situation. But Lord, we're praying for her tonight. Ronnie Vaculik, Lord, we continue to pray for him in this growth on his liver, Lord. We pray you might shrink it. You might remove it. Lord, you might take that from him. We're praying for a restoration of health for Brother Ronnie, his feet, his shoulders, Lord, his back, just everything that ails him. Lord, we pray you might ease his pain and his discomfort. Give him sleep and rest, and Lord, just allow him to recharge his physical and emotional batteries. We lift up Alita to you as she cares for him and works outside the home. We just pray that you give her the strength and the stamina to do what you're calling her and leading her to do. We continue to pray for Ronnie Holman, Lord, in his cancer fight, his cancer battle. We pray that you might bring healing to him. Lord, his cancer would go, would leave, would be eradicated from his body, and that, Lord, he would give you testimony, he would give you praise for the healing in his life. We pray for this Men of God's Way group and those in the group that are struggling with addiction. We pray, Lord, that you would help them with their sobriety, and you would send folks along the way to encourage them and to hold them accountable, and, Lord, just help them take one day at a time, so to speak. So, Lord, we lift up those folks, those men. We lift up Stephanie's dad, my father-in-law, Larry Field. We pray for his health, his continued improvement as he gets ready for bypass surgery. We pray that would happen and Larry would get to experience improved health and improved cognition and all those different things. Lord, we lift up those that are struggling with the COVID, Paul and Pat McCormick and Gene. Lord, we lift them up. We pray your healing hand upon them. Sharon, as she recovers from her COVID, Lord, we lift these folks up to you. Pray that they not be hospitalized or get severely ill, Lord. We pray that their bodies would withstand it, build some antibodies up for the next round, and, Lord, get on down the road with it. So, Lord, we lift these up to you. We pray for these unspokens tonight, Lord. We're thankful that we can voice them to you silently. We know that you're a sovereign God and in control. And, Lord, may we just have the continued faith and the steadfastness that you're working behind the scenes, that your timing is your timing and not our timing, and that, Lord, you work in ways that we cannot understand or even comprehend. So, Lord, we just lay these things at your feet, praise you that you hear us, and know, Lord, that you have our best interest and the party's best interest in which we're praying for. So, Father God, we love you tonight. We thank you that we can be in your word. We pray we receive the truth, and, Lord, we comprehend it and understand it. And as always, we become more like Christ from hearing it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, take a copy of God's word. We are going back to Leviticus. We've had our first of the year, New Year's fun, and now it's time to get back to the work of it all. Leviticus chapter 4, I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. We'll pick it up here in verse 1. It's a passage we've read, but it's been some time since we've read it. Yeah. Yeah, go for it. Yeah, man. Amen. I did get a report on my CT scan, and everything was normal except for some things that are kind of delicate to talk about in public, but something like that, yeah. Yeah, it looks like I'm going to get to spend some more time with the doctors, but I'm going to keep on plugging along here. I do feel better. Amen? I was telling somebody I don't know what infection I had, but it took a month to get over, and I don't ever want it again. Whatever it was, I don't ever want it again. So, all right. Leviticus chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God reads this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally in any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done and commits any of them, if the anointed priest sins so as to bring guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord a bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. He shall bring the bull to the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the bull and slay the bull before the Lord. Then the anointed priest is to take some of the blood of the bull and bring it to the tent of meeting. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood, some of the blood seven times before the Lord in front of the veil of the sanctuary. The priest shall also put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of the fragrant incense, which is before the Lord in the tent of meeting. And all the blood of the bull he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He shall remove from it all the fat of the bull of the sin offering, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat which is on the entrails, and the two kidneys, with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. Just as it is removed from the ox of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest is to offer them up in smoke on the altar of burnt offering. But the hide of the bull and all its flesh, with its head and its legs and its entrails and its refuse, that is all the rest of the bull he is to bring out to a clean place outside the camp where the ashes are poured out and burn it on wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out and all poured out, it shall be burned. Now, if the whole congregation of Israel commits error and the matter escapes the notice of the assembly, and they commit any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, and they become guilty. I'm going to go ahead and go on here. When the sin which they have committed becomes known, then the assembly shall offer a bull of the herd for a sin offering and bring it before the tent of meeting. Then the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before the Lord, and the bull shall be slain before the Lord. Then the anointed priest is to bring some of the blood of the bull to the tent of meeting, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord in front of the veil. Kind of the same thing. He shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar, same thing, right, which is before the Lord in the tent of meeting, and all the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He shall remove all its fat, and then it kind of goes down where we've been. Amen? So we'll stop it there, and we'll pick it up verse 19 when we meet on Wednesday. And everybody said? Amen. All right, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading. That's a lengthy passage. The sin offering begins at 4:1 and goes through chapter 5, verse 13. And so we'll try to get there Wednesday and then going into next Sunday evening. And then there's another portion of Scripture later on in Leviticus in chapter 6 that refers back to this sin offering in verses 24 through 30. So this is our kind of, I think, our second whack at the sin offering, our second crack at it. And so kind of a backup, a little bit of review, we want to talk about some observations about the sin offering and the four categories of sinners. First, there is the common element of sin and of guilt. Regardless of the category, whether the high priest sinned or the whole congregation sinned, or a leader sinned, or a common citizen sinned, all are in a condition of guilt due to sin, right? And I want to tell you, that's a bad, ugly word today. Nobody wants to talk about guilt. But you got to get guilty. You got to admit the guilt. You got to get vulnerable, admit the wrong, right? It's me. It's not you. No, it's me. Quit making excuses. It's me. I did it. Out of my volitional will, I sinned against you. I don't want to make excuses about it. Nobody helped me. I did it all on my evil own, my sinful flesh. And so I'm experiencing the guilt of that. Does that feel good? No. That feels yuck. That's where the grace comes in. That's where the shed blood of Christ covers it. That's where we get help and healing. Amen? But we got to experience the ugh until we experience the ah, right? It's a process. And so I think a lot of times we play the game, I don't ever have any ugh, or I want to ignore the ugh, or I just want to pretend the ugh ain't there when the ugh is there. We all stumble with the sin. We all struggle with it. The point is to keep the short sin account. The point is to keep. The whole point is I can't do it by myself. I can't live it on my own. I've got to have Him leading me by the hand. And man, when I stumble, when I fall, Jesus kind of looking back and going like that, I'll help you up. I'll help you up. When we get back up and we're like, well, Jesus, Lord, I don't know if I can go on. Jesus says, come on, man. I'll carry you a while. Amen? But a lot of times we turn our backs on that. We think we're so independent. We think we can do it. And we can't do it. And so the guilt that we seek to suppress, the guilt that we seek to choke down, it's there. And it has to be dealt with eventually. And if it's not dealt with, it comes out. It comes out. Make sense? All right. observations. In all the categories, an animal is sacrificed and its blood is shed and applied for atonement. Hallelujah for the blood, right? Further, the fat of the animal was burned on the altar of burnt offerings, and the offerer on this offering got none of the meat. Second, some observations about the sin offering and the four categories of sinners. Second, note the unity of the first two categories as well as that of the second two categories. In the first two divisions, verses 3 through 12 and verses 13 through 21, the whole nation is guilty, and a bull is required for the sin offering. The blood is likewise used in the same way in the first two categories. And we stopped there, right? We stopped there when I was reading that. We said it kind of goes the same way. Some of the blood is taken into the tent of meeting, where it is sprinkled on two or in front of the veil. And finally, the bull, in both instances, is burned up outside the camp. Thus, we see that the first two sections are quite similar in scope and function. When we read this on Wednesday night, likewise, with the second two divisions, verses 22 through 26, verses 27 through 35, we're going to read those on Wednesday night. In the case of the leader of Israel, or of a common Israelite, the sacrifice could either be a goat or a sheep of either sex. The blood of this animal was not taken inside the tent of meeting, but was placed on the horns of the brazen altar of burnt offering, and the remainder of the blood was poured out at the base of this altar. The meat of these sacrificial animals could be eaten in a holy place by the male priests. Per Leviticus 6, I referred to it earlier, chapter 6, verses 24 through 30. Now, that is just a sub-point, some observations about the sin offering and the four categories of sinners, just to kind of jog your mind, because we've been playing Christmas, amen, and then New Year's. All right, let's get ready for the New Year. So we're kind of easing back into it, all right? So as we begin afresh tonight, we want to talk about the uniqueness of the sin offering. This is the sin offering. This is but one of the offerings of Leviticus. Well, there's a bunch of them. We will understand it best by focusing our attention on what is unique about it. So we begin tonight considering several of the features of this offering which set it apart from the others. We won't cover them all, but we're going to take a run and jump at it. Number one, the sin offering is an offering for a specific sin. All of the blood sacrifices are related to sin. But the sin offering of Leviticus chapter 4, going into chapter 5, is an offering for a specific defined sin. It's not an offering for sin in general, or for a general state of sinfulness, which I believe is a function of the burnt offering. Remember that way back when, the burnt offering? The burnt offering is basically we're admitting to God and saying to God, totally depraved, man, I'm telling you without you, God, I was in trouble because I'm totally depraved, right? I'm without you, I'm not going to get it right. Totally depraved. I'm going to miss it every time, Lord. May look good on the outside. Ooh, but my motives will be wrong. I'm just going to miss it. Totally depraved. I need your help, right? So that's what that burnt offering was for. Amen? Still tracking with me? While chapter 4, going into chapter 5, deals with the guilt in a more general way concerning specific kinds of sins. Chapter 5 gets even more specific about sin. Let's look at chapter 5. Just jump ahead with me right quick. Chapter 5, verse 1. We'll end by basically with this verse. We'll get to the end of it tonight, but kind of springing it upon you now. 5:1, Leviticus 5:1. Are you with me? Online, folks? All right? Put that cup of tea down. We're in 5:1. Here we go. Don't be watching the Cowboys on the split screen. Focus. Now, if a person sins after he hears a public adjuration to testify, when he is a witness, whether he has seen or otherwise known, if he does not tell it, then he will bear his guilt. If he does not tell it. In other words, he's got testimony in a court of law. And he gets up there and they say, you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Uh-huh, I do. And then he gets up there and he doesn't do what? He doesn't tell it, right? And he knows he's not telling it, right? Whoo, that's bad. Bad, bad, bad. Amen? You still with me? Thus, the sin offering was required when a person was aware of a specific act of sin which needed to be atoned for, right? The uniqueness of the sin offering. The sin offering was an offering for a known sin. Especially in chapter 4, the sins which are dealt with are those which, for some reason, were not immediately apparent, but which in the course of time came to a conscious level. You ever lived that life? Maybe I'm the only one. You think you're batting 1,000. You think you're doing the right thing. And then all of a sudden, you lay your head down, you try to go to sleep, and you go, whoa. Bing, 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 bing. I think I messed that up. Wait a minute, I don't think. I think I know I messed that up. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Lord, I'm talking to you tonight about this situation, about this sin. I need to confess that, Lord. I need to come clean and repent of that. And then, Lord, I'm probably going to have to call that person, visit with that person, right? Or that situation or circumstance. You understand what I'm saying? Right? The impression which we get is that the sin offering was to be made immediately after the knowledge of sin was present. Which the inferred theme here is to keep a short sin account. To keep a short sin account. Which kind of begs the question. I'm going to kind of pivot today and chase a little bit of a rabbit, but that's okay. Which kind of begs the question. Why do we need to confess our sins if they've already been forgiven? Why do we need to confess them? Write these verses down. If you want to turn there, you're more than welcome. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, in Him we have redemption through His blood. What have we been talking about in this sin offering? Well, a bunch of blood going on. Sprinkling here and throwing there. And taking this out here and burning in the ash heap. In Him we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. What are we praising before at the front of the prayer time? His grace. Right? To the riches of His grace which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Now, this forgiveness is referring to salvation. Amen? In which God has taken our sins and removed the penalty of sin from us, as the Word of God reads in Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west. Right? Now, some people think there'd be no memory of our sin. I think it's no penalty. It's removing the penalty of our sin, right? We're still going to answer at the Bema seat. Our stuff's going to go through the refining fire, all right? As a believer, won't be at the white throne judgment, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. But there will be gifts given, and gifts will be based on our works that go through the refiner's fire. What comes out on the other end? Right? So, what we're talking about here, Psalm 103, verse 12, what we're talking about here, Ephesians 1, 6 through 8, this is what is called judicial forgiveness. Judicial forgiveness that God gives us upon receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. Hallelujah. Judicial forgiveness. All our past, all our present, and all our future sins are forgiven on a judicial basis, meaning that we will not suffer eternal judgment for our sins. That's good news. Now, however, on the other hand, we still often suffer consequences of sin while we're here on earth. Which brings us to the question at hand. I've given you Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, but there's another verse that balances that bad boy out. It's 1 John 1, 9. It's that John is dealing with what we call relational or familial forgiveness. 1 John 1, 9, I'm about to get there, right? Like that of a father and a son. 1 John 1, 9 reads this. I've given you Ephesians 1, 6 through 8, 1 John 1, 9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't lose the theme of Leviticus. The theme of Leviticus is that God hungers to be with His people in fellowship. He hungers. Why does He hunger? I don't know. Let's ask Him one day. Amen. You know, Lord, in the grand scheme of eternity, you know, kind of, you know, Lord, in the grand, kind of moving that foot back and forth in the old heavenly sand. You know, Lord, in the grand scheme of eternity, I wouldn't dare ask that question, would you? But I mean, it's a question I've often thought. You know, Lord, why do you want to be with me? Why did you want me? What's the point of having me saved, right? Why did you want me to preach? What's the point of me surrendering to? What's the point? His ways are not my, that's it. And so in the grand scheme of things, I'm just at the bottom line of it. Hey, man, I'm just thankful. Thankful I was convicted of my sin. Thankful that I understood what it meant to be saved. Thankful that I chose salvation. Thankful that I recognized the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life. Thankful, amen? Right? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, for example, if a son does something wrong to his father, falling short of his expectations or rules, then the son has done what? He has hindered his fellowship with his father, right? You can sin after salvation, which we all do, and not confess it to the father, keeping your sin account short, and you've not lost your salvation, but you've lost your fellowship. You understand the difference? You've not lost the relationship, but you've lost the fellowship within the relationship. You're estranged. You ever had a relationship with a family member? You ever had a strained relationship with a family member? Everybody in here has, amen? It's uncomfortable, isn't it? Right? It's so uncomfortable, right? When we don't keep a short sin account, we're kind of in that same boat with God. Still family. I mean, you can cut each other's arm and bleed it out, and they can run it through the DNA. Hey, man, you guys are y'all family. Y'all family, right? But boy, it sure don't feel like it when there's stuff between us. Amen? Make sense? Right? Word? He remains the son of his father, but the relationship suffers. Their fellowship will be hindered until the son, what'd the father do? Father didn't do nothing. Until the son admits to his father that he has done what? That he's done wrong. Make sense? This familial relational forgiveness works the same way with God. Our fellowship with Him is hindered until we confess our sin. When we confess our sin to God, the fellowship is restored. This is relational forgiveness. Positional forgiveness or judicial forgiveness is that which is obtained by every believer in Christ. So in our position, as members of the body of Christ, we have been forgiven of every sin we have ever committed or will commit. The price paid by Christ on the cross has satisfied God's wrath against sin, and no further sacrifice or payment is necessary. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it was finished. Right? He meant it. Our positional forgiveness was obtained then and there. So confession of sin will help to keep us from the consequences of estrangement, the consequences of discipline of the Lord. Now, if we fail to confess sin, then the discipline of the Lord is sure to come until we do confess our sin. Make sense? Our sins are forgiven at salvation, positional forgiveness, but our daily fellowship with God needs to stay in good standing, relational forgiveness. Does that make sense with everybody? I think sometimes we armchair quarterback it and we get these two confused. And it messes us up. Proper fellowship with God cannot happen with unconfessed sin in our lives. We got unconfessed sin in our lives. How effective is our prayer going to be? Yeah. Not very, right? Make sense? Therefore, we need to confess our sins to God as soon as we're aware that we have sinned in order to maintain close fellowship with God. Which brings me full circle with the sin offering was an offering for a known sin. Make sense? I'm back where I pivoted and chased the rabbit. Okay? The sin offering was a sacrifice for those sins which were unintentional. All right? We're talking about the uniqueness of the sin offering back again. 4:2, Leviticus 4:2, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally in any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done and commits any of them. Let's go to 4:13. Now, if the whole congregation of Israel commits error and the matter escapes the notice of the assembly, and they commit any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, and they become guilty, right? Unintentional, you see it there? Let's jump on to 4:22. We'll just let the cat out of the bag here. When a leader sins and unintentionally does any one of all the things which the Lord his God has commanded not to be done, and he becomes guilty, and then we'll jump on down 4:27, just round it out here. Now, if any one of the common people sins unintentionally in doing any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done and becomes guilty, right? See that? The term unintentional is more carefully defined. I'm almost done here. It's more carefully defined by God elsewhere. The passage is Numbers 15, beginning in verse 27. It reads this: also, if one person sins unintentionally, then he shall offer a one-year-old female goat for a sin offering. The priest shall make atonement before the Lord for the person who goes astray when he sins unintentionally, making atonement for him that he may be forgiven. You shall have one law for him who does anything unintentionally for him who is native among the sons of Israel and for the alien who sojourns among them. But the person, dun, 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 but the person who does anything defiantly, do you notice that adversative conjunction, B-U-T, but the person who does anything defiantly, we're not talking about unintentional now, we're talking about defiantly. Y'all know what defiantly is? You raised kids, any of you raised children? You ought to know what defiant is then. Kids know how to be defiant. You tell them no, and they look you in the eye, and they do it anyway. That's defiance. Amen? Defiant, right? They know it's wrong, and they do it with passion, the sin. What you've told them not to do. They look at you and they just double dog dare you. Well, you said no. How about I just do it anyway? Right? And I'm going to look you in the eye while I do it. Right? Right? Huh? Defiant. Right? But the person who does anything defiantly, whether he is native or an alien, that one is blaspheming the Lord. And that person shall be cut off from among his people because he's despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person shall be completely cut off. His guilt will be on him. Now, in some cases, the unintentional sin is one which is not recognized at the time committed. Right? We're talking about trying to end the day and those things coming to mind. Oh, my. Right? And then we we've got to do what? We've got to deal with it then. But sin is such a tricky thing because we're in a fleshly body and we don't have a glorified body. We're still in this economy before the second coming of Christ. The temptation is there. All the trappings of this satanic world are there. That it's, you don't have to try hard to sin. And you just don't have to try hard. But when we talk about these things, these unintentional things, we might call this sin of ignorance. But it's still sin. Make sense? In the case of the one who's given false testimony that we read of in chapter 5, verse 1, this person has knowingly and deliberately sinned, and thus his sin cannot be called unintentional, can it? No. And the sin offering cannot be offered for that. Instead, this person, as we read in Numbers, this person must bear his guilt. Chapter 5, 1. For a time. Make sense? Yes? We'll pick it up. We went over, didn't we? We'll pick it up on Wednesday. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we're in the new covenant. And Lord, these things we're talking about are certainly in the past. And Lord, we're thankful that as we go through these offerings and these sacrifices, we're thankful that they're obsolete now because of the one true and great and final sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We're thankful for that. Lord, we're thankful for that positional and judicial forgiveness that we receive when we invite the Christ into our heart to be our personal Lord and Savior, to save us. Not a Baptist word, but a Bible word, to save us. To be our personal Lord and Savior. Father God, we thank you for that. But Lord, may we take heed tonight and may we be encouraged tonight. Not that it's a burden, but it is a privilege to keep a short sin account. It's not drudgery. It's not something to dread. It's just what has to be done. Like bathing and brushing our teeth and eating. It's just part of the deal. So Lord, may we not despise it or look down upon it, but may we embrace it and seek to do it daily, not in a spirit of pride, but in a spirit of humility as we come to you daily and admit where we got it wrong, seeking to confess and seeking to repent, turning from those sins and seeking to be more like Christ. By your Spirit, Lord, may you help us and undergird us and encourage us along the way. And Lord, as always, we thank you for your second chances and your third chances and your fourth chances and your fifth chances. We thank you for your grace and your forgiveness and your patience with us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said. Amen. All right, online folks, we'll see you Wednesday night.